Good to see each of you here this morning. I've known Brother Brandon for many years. Watched him grow from a first-year camper to being pastor of a local in upstate New York. He's familiar to each of you. I don't think there's probably only one or two here that perhaps doesn't know our brother. But I ask this morning that you give him your prayerful and your kind attention, for I know that he's prepared a message that the Lord has for his people this day. I give it to you, Elder Brandon Tarbell.
Thank you, Ken. Well, I am thankful to be in the desert. It's cold back home, and I am glad to be here today. I consider it an honor to stand before you today, and I am very thankful for you having me. And it is definitely nice to see all these people from New York that have traveled so far to see me today. I do want to let you know that everybody in the Akwesasne local back home sends their love to each of you and their hellos. Today's service will be short, as are all my services when it's my turn to preach. So I ask that you pay attention. It'll be over before you know it, and I do require extreme attentiveness. I want to tell you that I had quite a sermon in mind for you today. I've been thinking over the last couple weeks about what to say and what to bring forward. I had come up with a lot of jokes to make you laugh, some visual things to show you and amaze you today. I had thought of a lot of things to say and do to convince you and to wow you, to say, wow, Brandon, he's really great at what he can say. And the problem over the last couple of weeks that I've had is time. I have had no time available to sit down and to study and to prepare for this message to you today. Every time I got a moment to do something or to prepare, something constantly came up. Plus, I'm known to be a little bit of a procrastinator. Get that from my mother. Well, Monday came and I said, boy, I really got to get this done. I procrastinate every Sunday back home, and I didn't want to do that in this case. And, you know, before I knew it, I knew Sunday would be here. And I got a phone call on Monday that said I had to be in Buffalo, New York, on Tuesday morning. And I thought, wow, full day of work on Monday. I'm extremely exhausted. I don't have time to do it. I had to wake up at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, drive all the way to Buffalo, drive all the way back home. And then Wednesday, I had to go to Burlington, Vermont, and back just in time for prayer service, and then I had to fly out Thursday at 5 a.m. And I just thought, wow, this is not meant to be. You know, maybe I should call Bob and tell him I just can't do this. Then on my drive down on Tuesday to Buffalo, it was a completely wasted trip. It was 12 hours of driving. When I got to where I was going, there was some miscommunication, we'll say. And needless to say, I had to get back in my truck, and I had to head back home for a six-hour drive. And it was on the way back home where I got to thinking about today's service. And I began to go through thoughts in my mind about how I could woo you with props and demonstrations and funny things to say that would make you think that I know my scriptures forwards and backwards. And that's when it hit me, that I was seeking the praise and the glory. And I knew that the Spirit of the Lord had spoke to me on my drive back home. And immediately pride rang out in my heart. Why are you puffing yourself up? Why do you seek the acceptance of men? And where is your humility? You are a servant of God, not pleasers of men. The thoughts on your mind have been yours and not mine. And the honor and the glory is God's, not mine. I think that we all seek the acceptance of each other. And we have a desire to be liked by one another, a desire to be loved, and we have a need to be loved. But I want to talk about our pride. You know, I know why I made this wasted trip to Buffalo. It gave me time with the Lord to speak to my heart and to convict me of the pride in my heart and my desire of acceptance. You know, it wasn't a wasted trip. It was just what I needed. I needed some time alone with God. He does work in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Buzz did tell me the day I was ordained that after my ordination, he gave me a 45-minute instruction. And he said, this is all the time I've got to tell you everything you've got to do. And he said, I just want to let you know that there's going to be a lot of Sundays when you're going to feel like it was intended for you, and not the congregation. And I think every Sunday has been that for me. It's definitely been instruction for myself, and today will be no different. The Lord has placed it upon my heart to talk about humility and pride this morning. I realized I'm not here to make you like me. My duty is to help you and to help instruct you. I'm not perfect. I mess up quite often. My wife can definitely attest to that. I can't quote scripture, and I don't have fun props or funny things to say this morning. What I bring is the Word of God and some instruction to help us as brothers and sisters in Christ working together with a common purpose. We've been talking about being in the service to each other the last couple of Sundays back home, and pride and humility fit right in. You know, if we stop listening to ourselves and listening to God directing us, we see what He's doing. I mean, I finally realized in this long drive that God was placing things upon my heart to bring to you. And it was just a continuation of what He's been placing upon my heart the last couple of weeks. I'd like to have you turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read something familiar, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, I feel these things have been placed upon my heart to say to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 18 to 27. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know, oh boy, Brandon's going to talk about me liking this brother or this sister, and why I don't like this one or why I don't like that one, and why I shouldn't gossip, or why do I treat others differently in church than I treat some others, and why shouldn't I judge anyone? You're absolutely right today. That is what I want to remind you of. I want to remind you that God has set members, plural. Not one, not you or I, but He has set members, many. And that we are many members. The body is perfect. We were made in the image of Christ. A head, two ears, a nose, two eyes, hands, feet, legs, a stomach. Some of us feel that that is us, the way we eat. Hair on our head even, some of us lack a little. Eyebrows even. There is a purpose to our body. There is a reason and a purpose for each and every part. And if a part is missing, then the body isn't whole anymore. I want to mention our pride within the body of Christ concerning each other. I feel we all put on good fronts toward each other, but we often have things that are hidden behind us when we say, you know, we judge each other. Why do we look down upon some of our brothers and sisters and cause a separation of certain ones? We have such a hard time accepting those that are not just like we are. Well, we're all different. Some of us are alike, and it seems we bond to those easiest. But God has set the members. I want to remind you today that God chooses, not us. In the dictionary, feeble means lacking strength or weak. Those lacking strength are necessary. Uncommonly in the dictionary says, not in keeping with acceptable standards of what is right or proper in polite society. Examples, language, unbecoming to a lady, unseemly to use profanity. Those keeping acceptable standards have to need, but our uncommonly parts, or those lacking, need more honor and love. And there shall be no schism in the body. I had to look that one up as well. A separation or division into fractions. says a formal breach of union within a Christian church, that cannot take place within the Church of Christ. There can be no schism. There can be no division. Whether one suffer, all suffer. You know, we are in it together. We are all that we have when you get right down to it. We are the body of Christ and we need each other. We need to be reminded today of what we mean to each other. Why do I need that sister? Why do I need to have that brother? Why do I need to be nice? Why do I have to say nice things? Why do I have to help? Why is it my job to encourage one another? You know, that's your job, Brandon, or Bob, or whoever your pastor is. That's their job. Well, I don't believe so. I believe we all have a duty to God and each other because we are one body. I'm going to have you turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 6 and read till 17. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now we rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Speak not evil one of another. Judge not one another. Sounds familiar. We are all definitely guilty of it. That word says resist the devil. The thoughts that we get in our mind about judging people and that, they definitely come from him. You need to purify your hearts. It says ye double-minded. And I thought about what does that mean, to be double-minded. And to me, it means to be a hypocrite. That we talk one way and do another. Well, we need to purify our heart and rebuke those thoughts. We need to command Satan to flee before us in the name of Christ. We need to stop right there and say, you know, when these thoughts come upon us, when we have, ill feelings toward one another and we have thoughts about why that we're complaining about this one or that one, we need to stop right there and say it to ourselves. We need to command Satan to flee from our thoughts, to flee from our minds, and to get out of there so that we would have a straightforward thinking, that we would be thinking of God and be focused on him. We need to stop when that thought comes upon us and command Satan in the name of Christ to flee. You know, it's a battle. And do you guys think that Satan says, oh, I think I'll wait and tempt this one at this time, or I'll wait till later, you know, to tempt them? No, he's on us constantly. And it's why we have to take action when we're confronted with the temptation. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to read three verses in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, God will resist the proud. Humble yourselves, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, what does due time mean? When I was reading this, I thought, what does due time mean? And due time means patience. Right? To me, that's what due time means, is patience. And those are the dreaded words that we don't want to hear. Wait upon the Lord. They're dreaded because who has patience? We say, Lord, I'm humble now. Answer my prayers for me and my desires. I need you to hurry up. We all lack that. We all lack that patience and to be able to handle due time. I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, there's many things in there that I know none of us are. But I know that there are a few in there that we sometimes fall subject to. You know, are we boasters sometimes? Are we proud sometimes? You know, that last part really gets me. It says, are we having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? I ask you the question today, are we being hypocrites? Do we find ourselves being double-minded some days? I want to turn into Matthew chapter 18. Just read a couple of verses, Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. Matthew 18, I'm going to start in verse 2 and read through 4. It says, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I believe most of us have gone through verse 3 and we have been converted, and we know that conversion comes by being baptized to become as a little child. But the one I want to focus on is 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, and I'm in total amazement when we take our kids to a place or somewhere where there's a bunch of other kids. And it could just be a couple of kids, or it could be a whole bunch of kids that are there. Most of the time it's kids that they don't even know, that we have brought them to, and they're going to play or whatever the activity is. And what's amazing is that they don't have to interact or to talk to each other, but they do. They just go right at it. They never judge the other kids that are there. They never think about, oh, what has this kid got going on in his life, and what's the other one got going on in his life? They just start playing right away. They talk, they interact, they share, and yes, they even argue. And they argue and they fight all the time, and when they rip toys apart. But what is amazing is how quick they can forgive, and they'll be playing right again. It's instantly. If we put a bunch of adults in a room, it takes a while for them to interact, to say hello to each other. They look at each other and judge what they don't even know. Share, what's that? And forgive, what is that? There wouldn't be any room for grudges or backbiting. I want to turn in the Book of Mormon to page 218. Book of Mosiah. Page 218, and read you 2 verses. Page 218, I'm going to read you verses 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Point I want to make is to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Those that have been baptized have all been given this gift, but the point is that if we do not yield and listen and take the instruction and the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, it is of no use to us. It is no good to us whatsoever if we do not yield to that Spirit. I'm going to have you turn over a few more pages to 316. Page 316 in the book of Alma, chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 48 through 50. Could ye say if you were called to die at this time within yourselves that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sin? Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God. This being stripped of this pride is a requirement on our list of things to do in order to be properly prepared to meet our God. We've met a lot of the other requirements through baptism and through the things that we do within our life to be obedient. But stripping ourselves of the pride that's within us is one of those things that are required when we are to be prepared to meet our God. I'm going to have you turn over a few more pages to 421. Alma chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 132 to 137. Page 421. I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may be humble, that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that you should learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out, that ye are despised of your brethren, because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. And now because ye are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye, for a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. And now surely, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy, and he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now I said unto you that because ye were compelled to be humble, ye were blessed. Do not ye suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word. Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. You know, I was talking about these ones being humble due to their poverty. But that can be in any case, in any predicament. Man in our stubbornness often is compelled to be humbled rather than repenting of our sin and humbling ourselves before God. Our pride and our stiff-neckedness always gets us into trouble. I'm going to turn over a couple more pages to 748. Going to just read one verse, verse 28. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak thing become strong unto them. We have need to be humble. We have need to have faith in our God, and He will make us strong. I want to turn back a few pages to 220. Just read two verses to you, verse 20 and 21. Page 220. Verse 20, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. You know, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. God is everything, and we must call upon His name daily. You know, how do we humble ourselves before God? I want to remind you today that we need to get on our knees and beg for His mercy. that is how we obtain our humbleness and our humility, is to get on our knees and to repent constantly for the sin in our life. We need to repent of the sin and ask to be filled with this humility and to have this love toward our brothers and sisters. I want to read for you number 16 in the Articles of Faith and Practice. This is something that we all profess to believe in. Number 16, we believe the Church of Christ comprehends the true brotherhood of man, where each esteems his brother as himself, and wherein the divine command to love your neighbor as yourself is demonstrated by the prevalence of social equality. We are all equal, though we have different personalities, bodies, voices, different laughs. We all have different levels of spirituality and the knowledge of the gospel. But we all have a desire to serve God. Don't judge. I want to remind you today not to judge your brother or your sister, but to love them. Remember, it is the responsibility of the stronger ones within the body to help the weaker ones within the body. I want you to remember what we read today in 1 Corinthians, what Paul said. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's all I have to bring to you today. It was placed upon my heart to talk concerning this pride and humility that we need to get by getting on our knees and asking the Lord for forgiveness. We need to be careful of how we judge our brothers and sisters, the thoughts that we think within the back of our minds. We need to love each one of them equally. We need to remember that we're part of the whole, part of this whole body. So today I would leave you with that, to be reminded today of the love that we have to have for one another, for we are all that we have. Thank you.